Perek Dalet Mishnah Beis, Ben Azai Omer. So again, here we have a Tana who didn't have the title of Rebbe, and he was called after his father's name. Even though he wasn't a Rebbe, and he was like a Talmud, and yet we find that he is, Rashi says in a place in Erevin, that when Ben Azai lived, there was no one as sharp as Ben Azai in the whole generation. But for whatever reason, he didn't merit to be called Rebbe, and that's why, just like Ben Zoma in Perek Dalet Mishnah Aleph was named after his father, so too Ben Azai, who didn't have the honor of being called a Rebbe, he was known after his father, Ben Azai. He also was a student and a Chavrusa Talmud Chavar, he's called, with Rabbi Akiva. There's a whole discussion whether he ever got married or not. According to most opinions, he never got married. And when his colleagues asked him about it, he said, "Ma eseh v'nafshi chashka b'Torah. I can't get married. I'm wedded to the Torah." According to other opinions, he got engaged to the daughter of Rabbi Akiva, and just like Rabbi Akiva made up with his wife Rachel that he would go to learn, and we know the Gemara says he was away from his wife for 24 years. He came home in the middle, Rabbi Akiva, and he heard someone asking his wife, "Where's your husband? He's been gone for 12 years, and she said, "I wish he would go for another 12 years. And that's what he did. That was Rabbi Akiva. So Ben Azai made up with the daughter of Rabbi Akiva the same deal. But in the end, according to this opinion, he never married her. And others say he married her and they separated. So there's all kinds of different opinions. But the prevalent opinion is that Ben Azai did not get married. Okay. Now, he also was one of the four that we mentioned in Mishnah Aleph, Nichnasu Lepardes. They went into the Pardes, and we mentioned that the Samach of Pardes stands for Sod. This is Kabbalah, the deep secrets of the Torah, and they were able to go into it really, really deep, and it affected these four Talmid Chachamim in different ways. Ben Zoma, we said, he became crazy. Ben Azai of our Mishnah died. Elisha ben Avuya, who was, by the way, the Rebbe of Rav Meir, he rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave up practicing Yiddishkeit. And the only one who went in and came out alive and came out healthy was Rabbi Akiva. The other three, unfortunately, were affected in negative ways. So this Ben Azai was one of those four. Now, what did Ben Azai say? Have irutz lemitzvah kala kibachamura. You should run after a easy mitzvah like a difficult mitzvah. In other words, you should do mitzvahs with simcha, with enthusiasm, with zrizus, not like a yoke on you. I gotta keep Shabbos. It's a famous thing. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein Zitzal said, why was it that the generation mostly that came over from Europe to America in the early 1900s, their children all gave up Yiddishkeit. The parents kept Yiddishkeit. They kept Shabbos. Every week the father would get another job because he didn't come in to work on Saturday. And when he came Monday, they said, sorry, you're fired. You have to work here on Saturday. So they kept Shabbos, Mesiras Nefesh. They kept Shabbos. They lost the job every week. And their children gave up Yiddishkeit. So Rav Moshe says, because the children heard the father saying, Shver Tzayin Ayid. It's hard. It's difficult to be a Jew. And therefore, they when they heard the krechs, they did the Yiddishkeit, but they didn't. It wasn't rutz lemitzvah kalak lemura. They did it because they had to do it, and they were sighing and bemoaning the fact. So the kid said, "I won't keep Shabbos. I won't bemoan it. I just won't keep Shabbos." So a person has to do a mitzvah with simcha. So whether it's an easy mitzvah means, the Bartanura explains, whether you think in your eyes, we don't know which is considered a good, big, heavy, strong mitzvah compared, or a weaker mitzvah. In your eyes, this is, looks like a non-important mitzvah. No, you have to run after what you think is unimportant, just like what you think is important. The truth is, you don't even know. What you think is important might be not as important as what you think is not important. That's your assessment. But whatever it is, run after it. Just one should be equal to the other. And ubareyach min aveira, and run away from an aveira. So the Machzer Vitri says the same thing. Even an aveira that looks to you big deal. What's a big deal if I do this aveira? Even an aver that you don't think is so significant, you have to run away. Other Mephorshim, the Tosfos Yontiv, in the quotes the Sefer Derech Chaim that says that by averus there's no such thing as an easy or hard. Everything's easy. Meaning that because for an aver you have a big Yetzer Hara, usually you have some hanoah, a physical pleasure out of it, whether it's eating treif or other things of that nature, which we have a physical pleasure. So Mamela, it's kal. It's every aveira is easy when the Yetzer gets involved. So that's why you don't see in the Mishnah, Bereich min aveira kala kebechamura, easy like hard. Because when a person does an aveira, all aveiras are considered easy. So you have to run after a mitzvah, run away from an aveira. Why is that? She mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. One mitzvah drags with it another mitzvah, va'avera goreres avera, and one avera drags with it another avera. So the simple pshat is that when a person does one mitzvah, that, and he's going down the good, right path, that leads him, and it's ma'orer him to do another mitzvah. The opposite of a person does an avera, so he gets pulled, he goes down the road of sin. He doesn't just stop at that one avera, he goes then to the second avera. And in fact, we have a Gemara like that. That's the derech of the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara says, do this today and do this tomorrow until he serves Avodah Zarah. He doesn't come to you the first day, serve Avodah Zarah. He gets you to do lighter avera. And then he builds up until finally you're serving Avodah Zarah. We have this based on a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Aleph, pasuk Aleph, the first pasuk in Tehillim. Ashrei ha'ish asher loy halach batzas rishoyim, uvederech hatorim loy omad, uvemoyshev leitzim loy yashav. Praiseworthy is the man who didn't go, he didn't walk after the advice of the rishoyim, he didn't stand in the place of the sinners, and where the leitzim, the mockers are, he didn't sit. So the Chazal ask, if he didn't go, automatically he didn't stand or sit or mock. So Chazal say that the pasuk is trying to teach you the opposite. What happens if a person walks? He doesn't stop at walking. From walking, he goes, he walks by a place that's not a good place. So then it leads him to stand there. Let me see what's going on here. And then, oh, let me sit down inside. Let me. And then he doesn't go right away from being a good person to being a letz, a mocker. It goes in stages. He's holeich. Then he's omeid. Then he's yoshev. Then he says litzanis, mockery of Hashem. Avodah Zarah is considered litzanis of Hashem. So the trick is, don't walk there to begin with, and Mimela, you'll be stopped from everything that transpires afterwards. The Medrash says, Medrash Tanchuma says, Lo yitzar adam al avera she'asa b'shoigeg. When a person does an avera by accident, that's not what, you have to feel bad on any avera you did, even if you did it by accident, but that's not the real thing that should pain you. The real thing that you're paying you is that now that you did an avera, even unintentionally, you've opened up yourself for more averas. Because we have a rule that avera goreres avera. Once you did an avera, that's what you have to really feel bad about. The avera you did was bishogeg, but you did it. Once you did it, then already there's an opening, there's a crack in the door where the Yetzer can come in to do the next avera. And when you're happy about a mitzvah, says the Medrash, don't be happy just about this mitzvah that you did. Be happy that because through this mitzvah, it's going to lead you to all the other mitzvahs that are going to come after it. Because mitzvah gereres mitzvah, and averis gereres avera. There's an interesting pshat that says, what happens if I do a mitzvah? Sometimes people do mitzvahs that have in it averis. There's a piece of an avera in the mitzvah. So is that going to lead me to a mitzvah, or is it going to lead me to an avera? The answer is, you could read the Mishnah like this. She mitzvah goreres. A mitzvah is gorer. What's a mitzvah gorer? Obviously, a mitzvah is not going to be gorer in avera. So it's understood. Mitzvah goreres, of course, a mitzvah. And then the Mishnah says, mitzvah ve'avera goreres avera. A mitzvah and an avera pull an avera. In other words, if you don't put the comma after mitzvah goreres mitzvah, but you put the comma one word earlier, mitzvah goreres, a mitzvah pulls, obviously a mitzvah. And then starts a new phrase, mitzvah avera goreres avera. So we have to watch out for mitzvahs that involve a little avera. Oh, but I'm doing a mitzvah. No, if the mitzvah has any avera in it, it's going to wind up that it's going to pull an avera. So the Mishnah concludes, sheschar mitzvah mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah, uschar avera, avera, and the reward of an avera is another avera. So the simple understanding is, the Bar Tanura says, that if a person does a mitzvah, Hashem will give him siyata dishmaya, will help him to do the next mitzvah. When it comes to an avera, the Tosfos Yontif says, not that Hashem makes you do another avera, but Hashem just lets you be. And a person's nature, we know that when does the Yetzer HaTov come to a person? When he's 13 years old, or a girl 12 years old. But till then, your nature is bad. So when a person goes down the wrong road, Hashem just, he doesn't give him help to do an avera. That's what Chazal say. Chazal say, Bo letame poischen loy. When a person comes to do an avera, we open up for him. Hashem opens up. Bo letaher, you're coming to be tor. Messiah oisoy. Then we actually help you. So when a person does a mitzvah, Hashem gives him siyata d'shmaya, helps him to do another mitzvah. That's what he wants, the person. He's going on that good path. Hashem helps him. That's the schar mitzvah. The reward of a mitzvah is Hashem helps you do another mitzvah. Schar avera, the reward of an avera, is not that Hashem helps you to do an avera, but poiskaloi, he opens up the opportunity. And then a person's innate nature takes over, and he's automatically going to do that next avera. The Rav Bar Tanura explains another idea here. Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah. If a person does a mitzvah and he gets hanoah from the mitzvah, he shook a lulav, he sat in a sukkah, he slept in a sukkah, he was at the Simchas Torah dancing with the Sifra Torah. He kept Shabbos and he enjoyed the Shabbos and Yontav. So that's the reward of a mitzvah. So the reward of a mitzvah, Hashem says, you know what? I'm going to count that as a mitzvah itself. Schar mitzvah, the enjoyment that you got, if you got enjoyment. So it comes out, if a person does a mitzvah and he doesn't enjoy it, then he gets one mitzvah. He did the mitzvah. But if you enjoy doing the mitzvah, then in fact, that itself, Hashem considers that's another mitzvah. What about an avera? Again, schar avera, the enjoyment you had in avera, avera. Hashem says, I'm going to count that itself as an avera. So when you do an avera, you're going to get two things. You're going to get the avera, and you're going to get another avera because you enjoy doing the avera. So again, if you did an avera and you didn't enjoy it, so then you'll get one avera. But you won't get the second avera, which comes from the enjoyment. This is the second pshat of the Bar Tanura. And there's a famous pshat here from Reb Chaim Voloshiner, Ruach Chaim, which I heard from my Rebbe, the Mashgiach of Yeshivas Ner Yisrael, Reb David Kronglass, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. The Ruach Chaim says the following. Again, the same idea like the Rav. Whenever you do a mitzvah, you really have two mitzvahs because you have enjoyment. Except according to the Rav, the Bar Tanura, it'll come out, it's only if you enjoy the mitzvah. But according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, you'll get a bonus. You get a bonus depending on what you have in mind. It also will depend. And he says like this, Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah. We know whenever you do a mitzvah, you get, Hashem gives you, now we're not talking about the pleasure you get in this world for a mitzvah. We're talking about the schar that you get in Olam Abba for a mitzvah. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, schar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah is itself a mitzvah. Uschar avera, the punishment you get for an avera, that itself is an avera. What does this mean? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, there's a contradiction. We have in Perik Aleph of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Gimel, it says, Antignesh Yisoyche said, that Altiyu Kavodim Hamishamish Misarav Amanas Lakabal Pras, El Havu Kavodim Hamishamish Misarav Shalom Amanas Lakabal Pras. A person should not serve Hashem for reward, he should serve Hashem not for pras, not for reward. The question is, we have a Gemara in Bava Basra that says, Hanoisin Sel Litztaka, Bishvil Sheyich Yabini, Oy Bishvil Sheeskel Elchayo Elumabo, Harei Zet Sadik Gomer. If somebody gave money, gave $100 to charity, he has a sick child, I'm giving the $100 that my sick child should live. Or I'm giving $100 in order that I should get Olam Abba. Harei zeh tzadik gomer. He is a tzadik gomer. So the question is, you just told me you're not supposed to serve Hashem for reward. Here, you're telling me that if I serve Hashem for reward, I'm a tzadik gomer. It's a contradiction. So one answer, a simple answer, is given by the Run. The Run says, there's a difference between tzadik and chassid. Tzaddik is the din, and chassid is lefnim mishur sadin. You do even more than the din requires. The Gemara says, whoever wants to be a chassid doesn't mean a satmar or vision of chassid. It means what the Torah calls a chassid, means a extra pious person. You could be a litvak, and you could be, the Vilner Goin was the biggest litvak around, and he was known, ha-goin ha-chassid Reb Eliyahu mi-Vilna. So you could be a German Jew, a chassid, and you could be a Litvish Jew, you could be a Sephardic Jew. Any kind of Jew could be a chassid. So if you want to be a chassid, which is the sefer in all of the Torah which helps you be a chassid? This sefer, Pirkei Avos. So that's the answer. Yes, you're a tzaddik gomer if you do for reward. But you want to be a chassid. The chassid is a higher level. A higher level, you have to do it not for reward. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner gives a different answer. Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, sometimes if you do a thing for reward, depending what's in your mind, you're doing it 100% what Hashem wants. Hashem wants you to do it for reward. What does that mean? So he explains. Everyone asks the question, why did Hashem make the world? What did he need the world for? Hashem doesn't need us to serve him. What's the purpose? So the answer that Hashem is a tov and a meitiv. He's good and he does good to others. In order to do good to others, he has to have people to do good to. So he created us. And really, what's our reward? Olam Haba. Really, he could have given us Olam Haba free. But then it would be what's called Nehama Dikisufa. Nama Dikisufa means bread of shame. So if a person needs money, we know the Rambam tells us the highest form of giving a person money is not charity, but rather giving him a job. Because when you give him charity, he's embarrassed to take the charity. When you give him a job and he earns money, he's not embarrassed. So Hashem did the following. He made a world with a Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra. The Yetzer wants us to do bad. The Yetzer wants us to do good. We have Bechira, we have choice. If we do good, then we get reward, and we earned it. We don't feel ashamed. When we're going to get Olam Haba after our hard work in this world, we're going to feel we earned it. If Chas V'Shalom, the way the system is set up, if we don't do good, Chas V'Shalom will get punished in Olam Haba. So when a person does a mitzvah, and he does it for reward, That itself is a mitzvah. If he does it because Hashem, I know Hashem wants to give me reward. I also know that the only way he's going to give me reward is if I earn it. So if I do a mitzvah and I earn it, he's going to give me reward. So what's a mitzvah? A mitzvah is the will of Hashem. So the will of Hashem is that I should light neiros for Shabbos. I should keep Shabbos. The will of Hashem is, once I did that, that I get reward for doing that mitzvah. That itself is the will of Hashem. So says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Sheschar mitzvah, that's what it means. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah. One mitzvah drags another mitzvah with it. Why? Sheschar mitzvah. Because how does the dragon? We always thought the pshat is, if I do one mitzvah, I'll get the Rav said, I'll get the siyata d'shmaya to do another mitzvah. Or I'll be ma'orer to myself to do another mitzvah. According to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it's automatic. Once you did one mitzvah, it's almost automatic. You have to have in your mind that I'm doing it because I want Hashem to give schar, because that is the ratzon of Hashem, to give schar. But once I do that, then mitzvah goreres mitzvah. Why? Sheschar mitzvah, the schar of a mitzvah is itself a mitzvah. So I get a double mitzvah. What happens, chas v'shalom, if I do an avera? Oh, avera goreres avera. You're going to get two averas. What are the two averas? Schar avera, avera. Hashem didn't create this world to punish us. Hashem created this world to give us olam haba. Now you caused Hashem, the way he set up the system of tov ra, bechira, and you get olam hazeh, you get Gan Eden or Gehenim, chas v'shalom, but when he gives you Gehenim, he didn't create this world for Gehenim. He created this world for Gan Eden. So it comes out, if you do an Avera, you're causing Hashem to punish you. That's a double Avera. The Avera itself and the fact that Hashem is punishing you, which is really not the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is what an Avera is. Avera is not the Ratzon of Hashem. So then now it answers the contradiction. A person gives money that his child should live, not because he personally wants his child to live, because you, Hashem, want my child to live. We say in the Davening Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, "Kolei echpoitz b'meis ha-Rosha, kiyim b'shuva midrach v'choya." I don't want the Rosha to die, I want the Rosha to live. Right? So if a person gives money that his child should live because you, Hashem, want my child to live, or he gives money that I should get olam haba, not that I should get, but you should give me olam haba. I know you, Hashem, want to give me olam haba. Hareiz et tzadik gomer. Antigonus says, don't serve Hashem for reward means I want my son to live because selfishly I want my son to live. Or selfishly I want to get olam haba. That's not a good thing. How does the person know if he came to this high madrega that you're doing everything for Hashem? The answer is, would you do a mitzvah and give reward to somebody else? If you're doing it because you want to get the reward, you wouldn't share the reward. But if you do it because you want Hashem to give reward, what do you care if Hashem gives you the reward or he gives somebody else the reward? There's a story where somebody didn't have an esrig, and he said, I'll give it to the Rav, but only if the Rav, I think the Hasidim say it about the Baal Shem Tov, the Litvak say it about the Vilner Goyen, I'll give you the esrig to Sheik, but only if I get the schar of your mitzvah. So they said, of course, they're not doing it that they should get the schar. They're doing the mitzvah that Hashem should be able to give the schar. And this is the pshat, the Gemara says in Sota, Daf Yudalid, that why did Moshe Rabbeinu have such a desire to go into Eretz Yisrael? He davened 515 times the Mispar V'eschanon to get into Eretz Yisrael. Did he want to eat the delicious fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Did he want a tour in Eretz Yisrael? Why did he want to go into Eretz Yisrael? And the answer is, he wanted to do the mitzvahs hatluyos ba'aretz, the mitzvahs of Truma and Meiser, and all the mitzvahs that are only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, which he never had a chance. Why? I want to do it so I can get the reward. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner asks, Moshe Rabbeinu is doing it for reward? Antigonus says, don't serve Hashem for reward. And here Moshe says, I want to do it for reward. The answer is, Moshe meant what Reb Chaim Volozhiner said, Sheschar mitzvah mitzvah. Moshe says, I want to do these mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael, which I never did before. Because once I do it, you, Hashem, will be able to give me reward. And I know you, Hashem, want to give me reward. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do the mitzvahs. That's the pshat, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, mitzvah, goreres mitzvah. Why? Because the schar of a mitzvah, that's a second mitzvah built into every mitzvah, if you have the right kavana, is the schar mitzvah that you get which is also the Ratzon of Hashem, which is also a mitzvah. Perek Dalid Mishnah Gimel. The Mishnah begins, Hu Hoya Omer, he used to say. Who is the he? It's referring back to Mishnah Beis, where we found Ben Azai Omer. So Ben Azai, besides always saying Mishnah Beis, he now says Mishnah Gimel. And as a introduction to the remarks of Ben Azai, we have the Kohati brings down a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in the Dorim tells us on the Pasuk, V'ahavta l'reacha kamaycha, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Zeh klal gadol b'Torah, that the biggest, the most important rule in the whole Torah is to love your fellow friend as yourself. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai, this is the Tana of our Mishnah here, he says, Zeh sefer toldos adam, this is the book of the generations of man, Zeh klal gadol mizeh, that's a bigger klal. And what Ben Azai is referring to is the end of the pasuk, which says, "Bidmus Elokim Asa Yisai." Man was created in the image of Hashem. So, in what way is that pasuk greater than "Vahavta Re'acha Kamaycha"? We would think "Vahavta Re'acha Kamaycha" is nothing greater than that. Ben Azai felt that this pasuk is even greater. Why? Because As the Medrash says, Shaloi Toimar, a person shouldn't say, Hoyo v'nizbazisi, since I got embarrassed, yizbazachaverimi. If I got embarrassed in this situation, let my friend get embarrassed as well. Hoyo v'niskalalti, since I got cursed, yizkalal chaverimi. Let my friend get cursed with me together. No, imasisa kain, if you did this, da, lemiatamavaza, who are you shaming? Bidmus Elokim Asoi Soi. Man was made in the image of Hashem. In other words, if you, Rabbi Akiva said the biggest rule in the whole Torah is V'haftal Recha Kamoicha. But let's say you don't mind getting embarrassed. So according to the, in this situation, it doesn't bother you if you're being embarrassed. So according to that, V'haftal Recha Kamoicha, I have to treat my friend like myself. I don't mind being embarrassed, so I treat my friend the same way. No, said Ben Azai, I have a bigger klal. The klal is the pasuk of Zeh Sefer Toldos Adam, which ends off with the words, Bidmus Elokim Asoi Soi, man was created in the image of Hashem. If you can let yourself be embarrassed, but on your friend, you can't say, V'hafter ach kamaycha, I'll treat her like I'll treat me. Your friend is created in the image of Hashem. You're embarrassing Hashem. It goes so far. There's a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, that says on the pasuk Ki Kilalas Elokim Tolui. When a person is hung up, there a person who gets skila, specifically a Megadei Hashem, a person who curses Hashem, or he serves Avodah Zarah. So the din is he gets skila. But he also gets hung up on a tree for a moment. He has to be taken down right away. Why can't he be left overnight? From here we learn the whole idea that a mace has to be buried right away. You can't leave him for overnight or a few. You have to do it as quickly as possible. So we learn it from this pasuk. So the pasuk says, why can't you leave this Russia who cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why can't you leave him hanging up on the tree? Ki kilalas Elokim toloi. Because, as the Gemara says, a marshal, there were two brothers. One was a thief and one became the king. So the other became a thief and a murderer. So his brother, the king, sentenced him to death. And he was hung up. But when he was hung up, he was a twin brother. He looked identical to the king. So people came to the king and said, this is embarrassment for you because it looks like you're being hung up. So it's the same thing. Since man was created in the image of Hashem, if you're going to leave this man hanging up on the tree overnight, and people are going to say, why is he hanging? Oh, he did a terrible Avera. He served Avodah Zarah. He cursed Hashem. So that itself makes a bigger Chilul Hashem because man was created in the image of Hashem. So it's like embarrassing Hashem. And that's why the din is he has to be buried right away. So it's the same concept of Ben Azai, that Ben Azai is telling us that the most important rule in the whole Torah is B'Tzalem Elikim, B'Dmus Elikim, Osso Yisrael, man was created in the image of Hashem. And as a result, says Ben Azai, Hu Ayo Oimer, Al Tehi Vaz L'Chol Adam. Don't be disrespectful to any person. Don't be scornful of any person. You'll say, this person, he's a bum, an ice dwarf, he's a Bowery drunk, you have no or he's a terrible person, and you show him disrespect. Don't disrespect any person, because every person has his place. Every person rises to greatness at certain times, and you might be in that person's, as we'll soon see a number of examples, you might be in that person's power, and because you didn't treat him with respect earlier in life, that person will take nekama against you and hurt you. So don't look at this person. I'm going to read what Rabbi Wein says. Rabbi Wein has a number of interesting things on this Mishnah, and he says it very well. Never say never. Do not disregard or purposely denigrate any person, and never say that a worst-case scenario cannot possibly occur. The nerd whom one derided in high school may turn out to be one's boss later in life. Thus, as a practical matter, leaving piety and morality aside, one should always show respect and sensitivity to another human being, for one never knows when and how one will encounter that person again. He brings a story from Rabbi Yechiel Munk. He once told Rabbi Wein that he and his family were warned of their impending arrest by the Gestapo in Berlin by a Gestapo officer himself. It seems that Rabbi Munk's father had once done a great favor to the father of the officer, and the German wanted to even the score. The monks were therefore able to escape Berlin and eventually come to the United States. One should never disregard the plight of another person, for the situations of life often reunite people in far differing circumstances. So this is the first idea that Ben Azai is saying here. And the second idea, still in the first idea, he brings a pasuk, the kohati of Shloim HaMelech Mishlei, Boz L'Re'eyu, a person who is scornful, who's disrespectful of his friend, Chosar Lev, he's missing his heart. In other words, you're not doing something smart. And as besides that bein, a mitzvah of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, but for a practical matter, even if there wouldn't be a Torah, but just for a practical matter, you're foolish to treat any person in the wrong way. Chazal say, La'olam yiyu kol b'nei Adam l'fanecha kilistim, v'hevi mechabdam k'rabin gamliel. This is the klal we have. We have it in kashrus very often. Chabdeyu v'chashdeyu. You have to honor the person and you have to suspect the person. On the one hand, every company you have to suspect, maybe they're trying to pull the wool over you, maybe they're trying to chas v'shalom make something non-kosher here. That's chashdeyu. But on the other hand, what's your approach to them? You don't approach them like a ganav, you approach them with respect. Chabdeyu, how far should you respect them? K'rabin Gamliel, who was the nasi. You have to respect every person as if that person was the nasi. And then says Ren Azai a second thing. Va'al tehi maflig l'chol dover. Don't distance yourself from anything. Don't be disdainful of anything. Now, what does that mean? So even what a person, the Medrash in Kohelet says, when a person looks around the world, he thinks to himself, why did Hashem create flies and gnats? Who needs all these things? The world would be very, very successful without it. Don't say that. Because the pasuk says, Vayar Elokim es kol asher asa, vehine toiv ma'oid. And the pasuk says in Kehelis, as hakol asa yafa be'itoi, kol ma she'asa kadosh baruch hu bo'olamai yafa asa. Everything that Hashem made in this world has a purpose. Rabbi Wein says here further, everything in the universe has a place and a purpose. As science progresses in its understanding of the natural world, it becomes clearer than ever that every molecule in existence has a reason for being and contributes its minute share to the life of the universe itself. Nothing is therefore to be abused, disregarded, or wantonly destroyed. This is in line with the Jewish prohibition of Baal Tashlis, the prohibition against the unnecessary destruction of animate and inanimate objects in our world. He brings here a story of the great Tzaddik, Rabbi Aryeh Levine of Yerushalayim, who was once walking in Yerushalayim with Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak Kook, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, who was the chief rabbi of what was then Palestine, before the state of Israel was created. So he was in a deep conversation with Rav Kook, and absentmindedly, Rabbi Aryeh Levine, who was a great tzaddik, he pulled off a leaf from a tree. And Rabbi Kook said to him, gently he admonished him, why did you not allow that leaf to live out its appointed time? Even a leaf, yeah, it's a growing thing. Why didn't you let it stay on the tree? Now the Tiferes Yisrael says that a person should not look at objects. This object, I'll leave it hefker. Let anybody take it. I don't need it because ein lecha davar she'ein loy makom. You don't need it now, but tomorrow you may need it. So this is against the whole concept. My wife's very much after me about de-junking. We have to de-junk the house. So this is what Rabbi Wein has to say on that. I hate to throw things away, but every so often I feel compelled to clean the debris from my desk and study. So I make a clean sweep of those items that I am sure I will never need again. Invariably, shortly afterwards, I find that I need a newspaper article or other item that I threw away. So for another year or two, I again squirrel away everything that comes into my hands until the urge to clean out comes upon me again, and so the cycle continues. So the Mishnah is here saying that before you throw something away, think about it because you may need it. Alti maflig l'chol dover. She'ein loch adam she'ein loy shah. There's no person in the world who doesn't have his hour, even though when you first met him in life, he was very down on the totem pole. But later in life, he can become much higher. And ein loch dover she'ein loy makom. There's no thing that doesn't have his place. So he brings here a few examples. One of them is Yiftach HaGiladi, and we find in Shoftim. He was sent away from his city and from his property of his forefathers, and he gathered around him a bunch of thugs. He became the head of a group of low life people. But the Anshe Gilad, who had chased them away, later they needed help from the enemy, so they came to Yiftach and they asked Yiftach, "Please help us," and he did help them. And Chazal say, Yiftach bedoyroi kishmul bedoyroi. That in his generation, although Yiftach was a low person, but he the time was right, the people needed him, Klal Yisrael needed him, he rose to the occasion, and he was considered great in his time, like Shmuel in his time. And here we find in the Medrash Rabban Bereishis about Dikli Tunus, that was his name. What was his previous job? His previous job was a shepherd for pigs in Tveria. That was his job. When he used to take the Chazerim near the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the children used to come out and hit him. And later on, this same swine shepherd became the melech of over Klal Yisrael at that time. And he brought because of what had happened to him, he made big zeirus against the Chachmei Yisrael. But the Hashem saved the Chachmei Yisrael with miracles. So he called the Chachmei Yisrael to come to him, and he said to them, because your Hashem makes for you Nisim, you're mezalzel in the Melech, you ashamed the Melech. So they said to him, no. The Klitunus, the shepherd of Chazerim, we used to shame. But the Lecturinus, the king, no, to him we serve him. So he said to them, even so, don't embarrass, don't shame, loim baraymi katan v'loi begulyer katan, meaning the lowest Roman, he was a Roman, don't shame him and don't shame the lowest servant of the king. In other words, just this, he said to the Chachamim, this was wrong. You shouldn't only respect me when I'm the Melech, but even when I was a low swine shepherd, you had to respect me. That's what the Mishnah says. Don't treat any person. And unfortunately, in our time, we had the same thing from Hitler, Yimach Shemai. Hitler was, I think, in Vienna, a painter, and I think there's stories where a Jew may have done something wrong to him or not treated him with the right respect, and as a result, his maniac character, we all know, unfortunately, the repercussions. So we have to treat, from a pragmatic viewpoint, we have to treat every person with respect. And the Medrash says, on the second thing that Ben Azai taught us, Alti Mafli Chol Dover, don't distance yourself, don't be disdainful of anything that Hashem created. Everything has a purpose. We may not know what the purpose is, but it has a purpose. So we find a very interesting story in the Medrash. David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalom, Kol Masha Asisa Yafa Asisa, whatever you did, excellent. Kulam bechachma asisa, you did it with wisdom. But one thing I don't understand what you made. What is that? What did you make? Aval hashtus shebarasa, ma hano yesh balufanecha. Chashon, people are psychotic. They're not in touch with reality. They're crazy people. Meshuge. What was the? Why did you make such a thing that a person can go out of his mind? Adam mahalich b'shuk v'kareyes b'godav. A person's going in the marketplace and he tears his clothing. That's one of the signs that a person is a shoyta. V'tinoika is mesachkin boy, and the little children are running after him, making fun of him. V'rotzen achrav klum zen nolufanecha. Is that nice? Why did you create craziness in the world? What's the purpose? Amaloy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al shtus atokoyre tagar. You're complaining that I created shtus? Chayecha, I swear by your life, shetitztarech loy, that you will need to come on to craziness. V'kachoya, and so it was. B'shoa shebaruch David al achish melech gas, he ran to that king. I think he was running away from Shaul at the time. Amru loy sarav la'achish, so he was captured by the officers of Achish, and they said to the king, Naroig, Lamisha Harga Sachainu. Apparently David had killed out a relative of this king. Let's kill him. But Oisa Shah and this Yore David, David became afraid he's going to get killed. Ubikesh Rachim Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he asked Hashem for mercy. Rabbeinu Shalom, Tain Li Ma'atma Oisa Dover, give me some of that shtus, some of the craziness that I complained about, give it to me now. V'nosan Loi. And Hashem made David crazy. And I guess he could have acted crazy, but maybe the king would have saw that he's not crazy. So Hashem actually made him crazy. Ma kosevoy, what does the Torah say, the Navi? Vayomer Achish al avodav. Achish said to his servants, Hine tiru ish mishtageya. Look, this is the man you want me to kill? He's a crazy man. Choser mishugoyim ani. Am I missing crazy? I have enough crazy people in my kingdom. Ki avesim ezel ishtagei olai. You brought this person to me to make me more crazy. V'gorshu me'im ponav. He chased David away. But at least David's life was saved. Ba'ois ha'shoa samach David simcha gedoyla. He was rejoiced. V'hoidel Hashem Ala shtushinasanloi. He thanked Hashem for the craziness that he gave him. And that's what it says in Tehillim, Perik Lamedalit, Psukim Aleph and Beis, Ledovid, Bishanoisay Estamoy Lefne Avimelech, Vayugersheyu Vayelech. When he, apparently Avimelech is another name for him. David, when he became crazy, that Shanoisay Estamoy, he wasn't normal. And he chased them away. Avorches Hashem b'chol eis. I'm going to thank Hashem at all time. From here we learn, don't be maflig l'chol dover. Don't consider anything that it has no purpose. And finally, the Tiferes Yisrael, the Rambam, the Meiri, and others explain, don't think that something is impossible, that it can happen. It doesn't mean that a person should be in a state of anxiety, worrying about everything, but a reasonable precaution. Don't go just, I don't have to worry about a thing. Any situation that you're in, try your best without anxiety. Doesn't mean you have to go meshuga because of crazy anxiety, but whatever you need to do to protect yourself, that's what you should do.